chapter 4. The text this morning is not going to be on the screen, just the reference, but Luke chapter 4 is the passage we're going to look at. But we're beginning a series, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and You. And so I just want to begin with kind of some introductory remarks as we get into the series. And Francis Chan, the name may not be familiar to you. He was a church planter in California, a pastor. Now he's a chancellor at Eternity Bible College. He wrote a book entitled Forgotten God, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And in his introduction, he wrote these words. He says, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes forgotten. While no evangelical would deny His existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced His presence or action in their lives over the past year. And many of them do not believe they can. Now, I'm not sure how much you agree with this quote, but I want to say that I think there's more truth in it than we like to admit. And for some of you, you may read it and go, that's me. I think many of us as Western Christians do not know how to listen to or how we've been shaped to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And that may be you here this morning again. You love God, not questioning that. You seek to follow Jesus. That's not a question either. But you struggle to know what to do. You struggle to know in a circumstance, how are you leading me, God? What is the right thing to do? What is your will, God? And a key part of why we struggle in those questions or those areas is we haven't learned or we don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, depending on your tradition and your background, you may come from a fear of the Holy Spirit. Not talking a positive, a very negative. Because that has happened too within the West, that acts associated with the movement of the Holy Spirit has been, well, sometimes abused. And sometimes it's caused some of us to be fearful of the Holy Spirit. Again, and I say this because I've had a conversation not too long ago with someone who just was, I have no problem with this, but I really struggle with the Holy Spirit. And in talking with them, I mean, the reality is, who wrote this? Scripture tells it's the Holy Spirit who's inspired this. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that if we want to understand this and hear the words of Jesus through it, we need to be able to hear and listen to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And so this morning's message is not going to address all of this, and the series isn't going to address all of this, but over 6 out of the next 7 weeks, Pastor Barry, Pastor Sam, and myself, we're going to be looking at Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in you. Our first statement, again, of the way of Jesus is, I have begun following Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. The Holy Spirit plays an absolutely central role in the life of a disciple because the Holy Spirit played an absolutely central role in the life of Jesus. Before we get to our passage this morning, just consider this. The Holy Spirit is directly referenced in all of these areas of Jesus' life. Jesus' birth, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descending on Him like a dove. The anointing of Jesus, Jesus being called for a purpose, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. The miracles of Jesus, Jesus attributed to, and the author Luke in Acts attributes the miracles that Jesus performed to the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' teaching, also empowered by the Holy Spirit. The resurrection, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Jesus doing these things by His own power. Scripture says it was the Holy Spirit at work in Jesus. It was how He accomplished these things. So this morning, think it's safe for us to say this. In his humanity, Jesus understood that being fully human means he could do nothing by himself. But depending upon the Spirit, he could do everything God desired of him. Why did Jesus say to his followers, "Apart from me, you can do nothing"? We're called to walk in the steps of Jesus. We're called to live as he lived. He did not live independent from God. He lived dependent upon the Holy Spirit to empower his life. And we're going to look at this in our passage this morning. So, if you're there, Luke chapter 4. Now, I'm going to read through the whole passage without probably stopping, maybe once or twice, which you know is not usual for me, right? So, that's why it's not on the screen. We're going to read through the passage because I want to highlight the four times in the 21 verses we're going to read where the Holy Spirit is mentioned in direct relationship to Jesus. That's going to be our focus this morning. So while there's lots of other stuff that we could talk about, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit in the course of our passage this morning. Luke chapter 4. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing all that time and was very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people need more than bread for their lives, or man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil told him, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God, serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he orders his angels to protect you and guard you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Soon he became well known throughout the surrounding country. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll containing the messages of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll to the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from their oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue stared at him intently. Then he said, "The scripture has come true today before your very eyes." Again, there's lots going on there, but we're going to focus on the references to the Holy Spirit's presence and involvement in the life of Jesus this morning. Two of them, very first verse, right? Verse 1. First one, Luke says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, or filled with the Holy Spirit, some translations have. Same thing. The word filled, and I've mentioned this in an earlier message, but I want to come back to it because it's important for us to understand. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, wrote chapter 5, verse 18, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." The word filled is not the image of a cup. The word filled comes with the image more like, this is the best picture I could find, a windsurfer, a sailboat. That have any of you been windsurfing? Any of you done it? A couple? Does it work if there's no wind? No. You sit there and roast on the water, waiting for something to happen. You have no ability to move, apart from, you know, right? No joy in the experience. I spent how much renting this thing for what? But when that sail is filled, boy, you can move. You can go fast, you can go far. You can fly, it feels at times. We are called to be filled in that context, in that word picture, by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us move, that gives us power. To be full of the Holy Spirit is to be shaped and moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to make something clear. Every follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Everyone. That is an absolute promise of God in Scripture. That is what Jesus promised. But not every follower of Jesus is filled with the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that's God's choice. He's done it. Being filled with the Spirit is our choice. Are we allowing the Spirit to fill us? Are we looking for the Spirit to fill us? Are we looking to cooperate, to listen, to learn? Being filled with the Spirit is a choice we make, a choice to submit, a choice to allow the Spirit to shape us in our attitude, our behavior, our character, influencing us towards the life Jesus has given us. See, Jesus was full of the Spirit. He allowed the Spirit of God to influence, to lead, to guide him. And that leads us right to the next reference of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. So then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gave Jesus direction and guidance in his ministry. How did Jesus know which towns to go to? How did Jesus know which of the 12 of his many followers to call as his disciples? We see that it was in direct relation to prayer. Jesus made statements like this. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus also said, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. So here's just the practical question. How did Jesus listen to the voice of God? How did Jesus know what he was to be doing? He says, I don't judge except what the Father tells me. I don't speak except what the Father tells me to speak. I don't do except what the Father tells me to do. How did Jesus know all those things? It's by the Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice, though, something else about this passage, particularly in reference to the leading of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life at this moment in his life. Have any of you ever heard the sentiment, there is no safer place to be than the center of God's will? Anyone ever heard that? So a few people have heard that. Can I just say, that is so not true. That is such a Western thing to say. Western complacent, Western safe thing to say. That God's desire is just to make us healthy and wealthy and happy, as if that's the biggest thing God has to give us. Jesus, led by the Spirit, goes into the desert, the wilderness, to be tempted by Satan. Jesus, I would assert, led by the Holy Spirit, went to the cross. Not the safest situation. But see, there is a kernel of truth in this. God does not always lead us into safe situations. But our eternity is secure with God. Not our physical lives, not our possessions. Our eternity is secure with God. That is why we can risk our physical lives and possessions. See, sometimes we've forgotten that. That because our eternity is secure, we can risk. We must risk. We must risk our reputations. We must risk being generous. We must risk with our time. We must risk with our energy. Because there's people going to hell. And we get so concerned about our safety and our security and our possessions, and we don't want to suffer anything. Brothers and sisters, our eternity is secure. And the more we believe that, the more we will be willing to risk. Because what really matters is already safe. Right? There's another expression, you can't take it with you. That one's true. But sometimes we forget. And sometimes we don't think that the Holy Spirit would lead us into places that may cause us to sacrifice or to suffer or to risk. I think if the Holy Spirit hasn't led us to do that for a while, we're not listening very well. Because God is so much more concerned over the souls of men and women and children than he is about whether or not we will be happy and safe. In verse 14, we see a third reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, the New Living Translation has, again, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. In the Greek, it actually just has, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's that connection that Jesus is operating. Jesus is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not operate out of his own strength. He lived a life of dependence. And we're going to look at living in the power of the Holy Spirit as its own message. So I'm not going to say much about that this morning, apart from just another quote from just the introduction of Francis Chan's book, that he just says it better than I can or would have apart from his words, so I'll give him credit. If you can't read it from the screen, I know the text is a little small. I'll just read it for you. Without him, that's referring to the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but take notice. One of the reasons we have been weak as a church in North America is we have been weak in the Holy Spirit. See, we live in a very affluent, very educated society. We're used to thinking we can do it ourselves because we're capable. We're capable people. We're gifted. We're talented. We're resourced. And yet, the area of the world where the church is growing the least is in the West. The areas of the world where they don't have the resources, they don't have the training that we have, they don't have the affluence, they don't have all of these things that we rely on so much, the church is growing like wildfire. Why? We need to be learning to work in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's going to be its own topic, its own message. But that's part of, we need to live in dependence on the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 is our final reference to the Spirit this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, for he is anointed to bring good news to the poor. He's quoting from Isaiah when Jesus read this. To be anointed is to be empowered and equipped for a particular purpose or task. Right? That's what it means to be anointed, that you have a calling and you're going to receive the resources to accomplish that calling. Jesus was anointed to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus made the way to the kingdom. He modeled the way. He is the way. A kingdom whose message is good news for the poor, proclaiming freedom to those who are oppressed and captive. And again, there's various types of bondage in our world today, right? Economic, physical, political, social, spiritual. I was just reading a book. Well, yesterday I was reading a section of a book called Counterculture by David Platt, and it's just on how we can responding to different issues. And I was reading a chapter on sex slavery that's going around the world today. Do you know there's more slaves in the world today than at any other point of history? There are more slaves worldwide today than at any other point of history. You know, and we often think, what? Well, wait a second, we've done away with slavery, right? There was the Civil War, we don't have slavery. No, you know what, even here in North America, yes, we have slaves. We have women and children in particular who are taken and used in sexual slavery. Estimates are 29 million persons today in the world are in a position of slavery. 29 million. Jesus came to proclaim a kingdom where captives would be free. For you, that issue may not be the one that really tugs at your heartstring the most. It may be something else, but church, we are to be modeling, we are to be proclaiming, we are to be living, we are to be working for freedom for those who are oppressed. And sometimes those people are not too far right from our front doors. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is upon me. It's from the Spirit Jesus received his calling. So Jesus was filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and anointed by the Spirit, given his calling. Now, here's the amazing thing. So can you. Just go back one. Sorry, Doreen. You and I, every follower of Jesus, everyone, can be filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And each one of us has a particular calling. And it's different than the person sitting next to you. This is to be the life we can live. Because those who say they follow Jesus should walk in his steps, can walk in his steps. Not because of us, because, and here's the thing with anointing again, I just want to remind us this. When God anointed anyone, he not just gave them a job to do, but he promised he would give them everything they need to fulfill that job, to fulfill that role, to see that calling through. Jesus said that he came to give us life, life to the full, abundant life, and that is a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus himself acknowledged his need for the Spirit of God while incarnated, while fully human, just like you and I, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? And so as we begin this series, and over the next five of the next 6 weeks, I just want to encourage you, and all I want to really encourage you this morning is, I'm not sure where you come from in terms of your experience or your knowledge or your perception of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. It's going to be quite varied in a group this size. Some of you, you're very familiar. You feel very attuned. You know, not that you're saying you're perfect or I'm saying you're perfect, but you hear, you are familiar with how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I want to encourage you to keep listening. Keep asking the Spirit to speak and to move and to lead. For those of you that you're just, I mean, I'm not questioning in any way your love for Jesus. You're just, you struggle. You don't know. How do I know it's the Spirit? Or I just struggle. And maybe for some of you, you've come from a background where demonic spirits, evil spirits is something that because of part of your background or history, could be cultural, could be whatever your personal history is, that's a fearful place, talking about the Holy Spirit or being able to discern between the Holy Spirit and other voices. I want to encourage you to trust God in this journey. I mean, don't go through it alone. You know, come, you can talk to me, talk to someone else, but we have to depend on the Spirit. And so I just want to encourage us all just to be open to listening to the Spirit. And to help with some of that, in the sermon notes, I've given you two passages that talk about the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives. And I encourage you just to study those passages. What is one step you can take this week to allow yourself to be filled, led, empowered, and called by the Holy Spirit? And I just want to close this morning with, I'll just use Francis Chan's words that close his introduction. And it's his prayer for his book that he wrote, and I'll just read it as I trust what will be. It's my prayer for this series and hopefully our prayer as we go through to the end of June. May our desire to experience more of the Holy Spirit be our starting point. May we open our hearts and lives to His presence and action more fully than we have ever done before. By the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, may we be different people when we finish from when we started. Father God, I pray that You would guide us to hear and obey Your Spirit. Your Spirit, Lord Jesus, that You said You would send the Holy Spirit to be the one who would lead us into all truth, who would lead us to Your teaching. Holy Spirit, give to all of us just a gift of discernment, especially over these next 2 months, that as we seek to listen to You, we will be able to know with clarity when and where and how You are speaking to us, that we will grow in our ability to listen and to follow You. Holy Spirit, we just declare our absolute dependence upon You to accomplish anything of value and substance for Your kingdom, Lord God. So, Holy Spirit, thank You that You dwell within us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have sent the Spirit to each one of Your followers. Holy Spirit, guide us. Lead us in how we can be filled by You. That we would be led by You, empowered by You, and understand our unique anointing. As Your children, as Your people, as Your church. And I pray this, Lord Jesus, in Your name and to Your glory. Amen. Blessings on you as you go this week, especially for those who are going to pitch and praise. And again, just a reminder, next week we're going to end a little